Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you from what is listed as being the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel. In the 3rd year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had 2 horns. And the 2 horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beasts might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had 2 horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him and smote the ram and brake his 2 horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up 4 notable ones toward the 4 winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep, on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick. Certain days afterward I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. The beginning of what is listed as the eighth chapter of the book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. So now we are 2 years hence from the dream, the vision that was given to Daniel during the first year of the reign of King Belshazzar, the son of King Nebuchadnezzar. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel. Again, these visions, these dreams, are not merely being interpreted by Daniel, courtesy of the interpretations given to him by God, but they are of dreams, visions given directly to him. And again, interpreted by God, not by Daniel. So, this vision is given to him after that which appeared unto him at the first. In concert, if you will, 2 years removed, but in concert, if you will, with the first dream vision which was given to him regarding this. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Or Ulai, if you prefer. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. So the greatest power, the greatest kingdom here of the Persians, who are the last stage of this kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, the Medians and the Persians, the last has the greatest empire, is the most powerful. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward to further expand the empire, so that no beasts might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. Indeed, these are defining characteristics of these who would rule the world. They are all consumed with their lust for power, with their lust for conquest, to overthrow other nations and other peoples and subjugate them to themselves, all for the glorification of themselves. It's a hallmark. It's a defining characteristic. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth. From the west on the face of the whole earth. I don't understand that. It's, you know, this wording to say on the face of the whole earth, that makes it sound like there is a vast front that is not merely coming, you know, from this direction, but that it's covering the whole horizon. And yet, what Alexander was famous for, one of, you know, many things, but was for conquering with smaller armies. So it's hard for me to envision this, but nonetheless. An he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. Now, I'm sure there are all manner of interesting and clever ways that can be interpreted. But every single solitary time I read it, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, it always says the same thing to me. And I may be mistaken, but I believe that Alexander had supernatural power on his side. He was famous for the speed of his attack. Famous for the boldness and the speed with which his armies would attack. But this matters, stating that this he-goat touched not the ground. Clearly, his armies touched the ground. And though Alexander was horseback, leading cavalry, nonetheless, the animals touched the ground. But this, I believe, is an indication, is referring absolutely to Alexander himself, Alexander the Great, who has a very interesting history, that he had something else going for him here. And it wasn't power from God. So there really is only one other source of supernatural power. Inferior to that of God, but supernaturally powerful nonetheless, from Satan. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. So the Alexander-led Grecian army vanquishes the Persians and takes all that is theirs, the overwhelming majority of which, of course, they took from the Babylonians. But therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, as he had broken the kings of the Persians. He is broken. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So it speaks of the four who rise, the four leaders who rise, as being notable and being toward the four winds of heaven. Indeed, they carved out portions of his kingdom, of his empire for themselves, and attempted to enlarge upon that by defeating one another. But while it says here that they were notable, elsewhere it's made clear that they do not exercise the power of Alexander. So for the broken horn Alexander, the fallen Alexander, came up four notable kings, all of whom sought to rule the entire empire and competed with one another, one way and another. And they were toward the four winds of heaven, four portions of the kingdom, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land, the holy land, Israel. Now again, I am sure there are all manner of clever, interesting takes on this concerning this little horn. But I think it is unmistakably clear, though I could be mistaken, that this little horn is directly related, directly descended from this empire, this Grecian empire, which owed so very much to the Macedonian empire of Philip, the father of Alexander. And some opine that they believe that Alexander was responsible for the murder of his father, poisoning him, but others think that it It was Alexander's mother and so on and so forth. So the Macedonian Empire laid the foundation for the Grecian Empire. The Grecian Empire overthrew the empire of the Persians, which was the final portion of the empire of the Medes and Persians, or Medians and Persians, which overthrew the empire of the Babylonians, the Chaldaic Empire. But this little horn came forth out of one of them, out of one of them, out of one of the leaders of the Grecian Empire. Now, that would seemingly be referring to these four leaders who stood up, who were four leaders under Alexander and who stood up to compete to become the emperor. However, and that's the way I read it. However, the Grecian Empire was succeeded by its ever so near kin, the Roman Empire. So at the very, very least, this beast, referred to as the little horn, is directly descended from the Roman Empire, at the very least. Not just from the area, not just from somewhere within the former Roman Empire, but directly descended out of one of them. Speaks of offspring. Now, obviously, many, many, many generations removed. Millennia removed. But out of one of them came forth a little horn. And I do believe it dates back to these leaders who served under Alexander, which is why I have read on this subject. But nonetheless, it is entirely possible that it's referring to dissension from a leader of the Roman Empire, one of the Caesars. Out of one of them came forth a little horn which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land, the holy land, Israel. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Now, Alexander, again, there is indication that he had evil supernatural power on his side. As far as the lineage here, the parentage of this little horn, it does not indicate that he is descended from Alexander, but one of Alexander's leaders. If not that, then from one of the Caesars. But again, it speaks of evil supernatural power. You don't go to war with the kingdom of God, the host of heaven, in heaven, without having serious supernatural evil power. And this evil leader, this little horn, waxed great even to the host of heaven. The heavenly host, the angels. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground. And the stars referred to in the book of Revelation were angels of the seven churches. And there were other stars referred to that were mighty angels. This evil leader has this much evil power, satanic power, that he not only exercises greater power on the face of the earth than has ever been wielded, with a more terrible empire, kingdom, than there has ever been. But he even goes to war in the heavens and causes some of the host of heaven and of the stars, the angels, mighty angels in heaven, to be cast to the ground. This is not speaking of angels who followed Satan in rebellion against God. He cast these to the ground and stamped upon them. We haven't ever seen anything the likes of this before. And it's very near at hand. When you hear about leaders being magnetic, having charisma, or George Herbert Walker Bush's famous line about the vision thing, having vision, but being leaders that the blind, ignorant masses so willingly, enthusiastically follow and clamor for and what have you, that's nothing compared to this. The world has never seen anything like what is coming. I don't know about you. I've seen videos concerning the Nazi regime and have seen Hitler speak. And I'm always astonished that he had any kind of sway with the masses. Utterly amazed that somehow that speaking managed to have any effect, any impact whatsoever with the German masses. But this leader that is coming, he's no Mussolini, he's no Hitler, he is something else again. We have never, ever seen his like. Now, as I mentioned with regard to Revelation concerning the image of the beast, we have artificial intelligence and robotics currently available, let alone what's coming online, that could account for what is referred to concerning this image of the beast being brought to life, speaking, causing that as many as would not worship the image should be murdered. But computerization, I know years and years ago, decades ago, they would say that, well, whatever the proper way, whatever the correct wording was, that computer technology, that it multiplied every 6 months. It turned over. It made these vast strides. And I know going back then, it was a matter of that computers were supposedly obsolete within 3 years and what have you. But the rate of change in computing power has been ramped up, not just the power of computers, but the rate of change has been increased, has been ramped up. And the power of artificial intelligence now, and the super, super duper computers, and the various terms that are used in the quantum computers and the supercomputers are phenomenal, beyond imagination. But they will be only more so 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now. But this leader is not solely dependent on using supercomputers and quantum computers and so forth. Instead, he is wielding supernatural satanic power, which seemingly goes back to Alexander, all the way back to Alexander, even though this does not indicate that he is directly descended from Alexander, so much as directly descended from one of Alexander's leaders or one of the Caesars. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, even to Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And by him, by this evil leader, the daily sacrifice was taken away and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now, wait a minute. You know, the temple was destroyed long ago. The sanctuary was destroyed. The daily sacrifice was taken away. And so then we find ourselves being carefully taught by this great theologian and that great doctor of the law that this is regarding times long ago, millennia ago. This is not for some time in the future. This is long, long, long ago. Absolutely false. But you're free to, you know, believe them and follow them. Daniel was explicitly told that this was concerning the very, very last time on earth before the victorious, triumphant coming of the Lord God Almighty. That hasn't happened yet, people. Nor has this. So, Is it possible that this matter of the taking away of the daily sacrifice and the sanctuary being cast down, is it possible that that is going to happen again? Is it possible that the temple is going to be rebuilt? I think it's not only possible, I think it's absolutely requisite in order for this prophecy to come true. And I believe it's very near at hand. And again, I believe that will be an absolute indicator of just how close to the end we are. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily, by him being this evil leader, not the prince of the host, by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. The place of the Lord's sanctuary was cast down. And an host, not a heavenly host, but an host was given him against the daily sacrifice, by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. The truth has been being cast down to the ground for some time now. You know, every generation, there are new titles assigned. This is the communications generation or age, or this is the such and such one, and so forth. Well, this truly, apart from all of those things, this is the age of lies. This is the age, generation, if you prefer, of lies. And depending on where you want to have the beginning and the ending of this generation, this is, in essence, the final generation. It is the final span of years. Again, depending on where you want to start, you know, the current generation and where you have it end, maybe it exceeds the end point of that for some. But it is the last span of time of years before the triumphant return of the Lord. It cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Jesus Christ referred repeatedly to this transgression of desolation spoken of in the book of Daniel. How long shall it be? How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Not only the sanctuary of God, but the heavenly host to be trodden underfoot. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, with regard to 2,300 days, you can slice that and dice that and view that in different ways and interpret that any way you care to. If you divvy it up into years, I believe it comes to 6.389 years. And then if you want to creatively do something with it there and say, okay, well, that's almost like akin to 6,389 instead of 6.389 years, let's say that that actually means, translates to 6,389 years, and so maybe that's 6,389 years since creation. Yes, people have not been on the face of the earth for the amounts of time that we are always told. But I think it probably does not mean anything like that. But again, it comes out to be approximately 6.389 years. Perhaps it is 2,300, instead of 2,300 days, perhaps it's 2,300 years from some point in time, such as the crucifixion of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus, in which case I am way off saying it's very near. But there are different ways to look at it. And I'm sure other people have a better take on it than I do. But 2,300 days, approximately 6.4 years, just shy of that, if it is in fact days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So that would seemingly be saying that this reign of terror, an absolute reign of terror, unlike anything that there's ever been on the face of the earth, a reign of terror and destruction, not only of we people, but even of the heavenly host. Extends for 6.4 years or so, because it had already started before this, unto 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. But that unto 2,300 days can date back to when this reign of terror begins. So again, give or take, just shy of 6.4 years, if it is referring to 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So God Almighty seemingly is going to permit this unspeakable evil king, leader, ruler, beast to rule and reign for this period of time, 6.389 years or something like that, and to cause mass murder and mayhem, including destruction of members of the heavenly host, angels of heaven. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. I don't understand that. I would think that the blood of Jesus Christ would be sufficient to cleanse the sanctuary without having this massive bloodletting and destruction. But this is what it says. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. The appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, as in the mighty angel Gabriel and messenger of God, make this man to understand the vision. So here we have angels who appear to be men. Mighty angels. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. Now this man that is falling on his face is not the likes of you or I. This is one of the greatest, most outstanding, and faultless servants of God of all time. And yet he falls before this angel, as he says, upon his face. But he, Gabriel, said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. At the time of the end. So all those great theologians, great doctors of the law, great ministers and what have you, those great Christian leaders who would have us believe that these things took place a couple millennia ago. With the vengeful sacking of Jerusalem, they err greatly. And they ought not be followed, heeded, paid attention to, and so forth, believed, because they err greatly. And they are the blind leading the blind. Understand, O Son of Man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. At the time appointed the end shall be. All of those brilliant, enlightened, superior thinkers including in the church, you know, who believe that preaching needs to be relevant to our lives, right? Applicable and relevant. Yes. And intentional. By all means, it must be intentional and relevant and applicable to our lives. You know, instead of that dusty, arcane, archaic, passé word of God, right? Those churches are in trouble, as in eternal trouble, and the leaders of those churches. But the other great thinkers out there who insist, oh, my word, yes, we need to do something about this climate change. And we really need to do something so that there isn't nationalism within nations, because that's just wrong. We really need one vast world government. That is to be desired. That would be so superior. And the list goes on. And they believe, or at least they pretend to believe, they have no regard for the truth of God. No regard for God's word concerning what is, what was, what shall be, at the appointed time of the end. There is an appointed time that these things end. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And even though he's in a deep sleep, he's hearing all of this and remembering all of this, and he communicates all of this. He puts it all down for us. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. Indignation. God takes indignation with what? transpires on this earth, including in his church. I will make thee know what shall be in the last end, the very end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. The kings of Media and Persia. So the Persian Empire exceeded the Median Empire. It expanded the empire and grew in wealth and power. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Alexander the Great. Now that being broken, Alexander the Great dying, whereas four stood up for it, four leaders who made themselves kings stood up in the place of Alexander and took rule over portions of the kingdom. And yes, this could also pertain to four, take your pick of which four, of the Caesars of the Roman Empire, if you prefer. But it just so happens that it agrees with what actually took place in the Grecian Empire following the death of Alexander. Now that being broken, the great horn that was Alexander the Great, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, out of the kingdom, out of the empire. But not in his power, not in Alexander's power. So even though these are notable ones, they shall not exercise the power of Alexander the Great. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, we fast forward all the way through the Roman Empire, and all the way through these centuries since the Roman Empire, to sometime very, very soon, very, very near in the future. And we have this. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. A king, a leader shall rise, an utterly evil leader shall rise that shall exercise supernatural evil power. This is not merely akin to the likes of Hitler and Stalin and Mao. This is worse. Never again, never again shall, you know, you've heard those refrains. This will make all of that evil pale by comparison. a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences and wielding satanic power. For those who don't believe in such things, you know, who love to spend time being entertained with entertainments about witches and warlocks and vampires and zombies and aliens and all of these other things, dragons and what have you, but who dismiss the idea that a world ruler could not only exercise and wield artificial intelligence, AI, supercomputing, quantum computing, but satanic supernatural power. Well, they're in for a surprise, but all of us that are still alive when this transpires in the very, very near offing, in the very near future, will be amazed. Myself included, if I'm still on this earth at that time. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences and wielding satanic supernatural power shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Now, when I read that, I always wonder, okay, is that referring to him being in charge of the UN, you know, and having this great world alliance and all of that? Sure, that's possible, but it is, I believe, clearly again referring to the source of his power is Satan, not man. And he's not Satan. So the power that he wields, that he exercises, that he enjoys, that he gets to make use of, is not his own. It's lent to him by Satan. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. The power to bring down angels to earth and tread upon them. And he shall destroy wonderfully. I really cringe at that. I really take extreme exception to the use of the word wonderfully. And the reason for that, and perhaps it's true for you also, is that to me, wonderfully refers to good things, very good things, extremely good things. So I would prefer for some word other than wonderfully. And I can't help but believe that this word is not the best translation. But nonetheless, he shall destroy monstrously, terribly, murderously, but it says wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, as it has said previously. He shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Craft, you know, like witchcraft. Or perhaps it has something more to do with political machinations, real politic, and so forth. But craft, craftiness, and I believe witchcraft, He shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. By peace shall destroy many. This speaks very greatly of making this great pretense of being a man of peace, even as Adolf Hitler did and was elected as a man of peace by people that were blind, ignorant fools who were blind to everything he had done and said prior. But here, by peace shall destroy many, not merely deceive many, but literally destroy many, multitudes, by peace. You know, the UN, oh, it's all about world peace. Oh, my, and our great peace initiatives here and bringing peace to the Middle East. If they had ever succeeded, if the UN, United Nations, and their helpers had ever succeeded in getting Israel to make all of the concessions that they have demanded of them, Israel would have been destroyed and the people slaughtered. By peace, this destroyer, this chief destroyer, shall destroy many. We need to disarm the populace in the interest of peace, as they're doing in New Zealand right now, as they have throughout the UK. We need to disarm the civilian populations, as Hitler did, as Joseph Stalin did, as Mao did. We need to disarm the civilian populations, the peoples, in the interest of peace, in the name of peace. By peace, he shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, against the Lord of lords and King of kings, against Jesus the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. But he, this destroyer, this satanic servant, shall be broken without hand, shall be slain, shall be destroyed, but not by the hand of man. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Yes, it has been many days since Daniel received this vision, but it is now near at hand. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. How about them apples? Daniel, yes, he had his brethren, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who may have been alive at this time, may well have been alive at this time. Hopefully, they were alive at this time. But Daniel was always the one who received the interpretations of the visions and the dreams. He never figured them out by himself. God gave him the understanding. God explained these things to him by the hand of angels. And here, even as he did here, and even though Gabriel is instructed to make him understand the vision, he does not understand it. But more profound than that, he then goes to others and recites it to them, hoping that they can give him understanding. My word, Daniel, what's come over you? I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. There are different ways to read that. You could say, well, Daniel completely understood it, but those whom he shared it with could not grasp it. Okay, that's an alternate way to look at it. And certainly a possible one. But I really think that despite Gabriel's tutelage here, that Daniel could not really grasp it, that it was so extraordinarily beyond anything that there has ever been, that it was too much. Well, we will find out shortly what will be, because this is in store for us and very near, very soon. And those people who are following their social media on their smartphones and what have you, 10 hours a day in this nation or that nation, 9 hours a day in these others, and 8 hours a day in others, and then the very, 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 very lowest such usage in Japan, just shy of 4 hours a day, I think that they're probably going to be taken in by this destroyer, don't you? The question is, will we be? Heavenly Father, Holy God, kindly cause Gabriel, or thy Holy Ghost, to explain these things to us, to give us understanding, to give us light concerning thy truth, thy word, regarding what is coming, which is very, very near at hand. Help us, Lord God. Fill us with thy Spirit. Make us fit for thy use, and use us by thy Spirit for thy glory. All glory, praise, thanksgiving, worship be thine, now and ever. In Jesus' holy name, amen.